Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Like and subscribe there as well. Well, people, the Toronto Raptors are victorious once again in preseason action. Joining me to discuss it, you know the man, Esfandiar Behrahani, SDPN Sports. Hello,
hello,
sir.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello. I feel like remember in high school when you guys 2-0, you know, start to see season and you're like, we undefeated. It just feels like that vibe right now. You gotta enjoy it. I really enjoyed this game the whole way through. It was fun basketball, and I can say that about the entire preseason for the Raptors so far. It's been fun. It's been enjoyable, which is better than the last season, like, by far. So yes, good vibes all around, my guy.
100%, man. It's like a combination of back to school vibes along with, you know, early season basketball vibes, exhibition. You're playing some of the local competition. They're terrible. You're feeling good about yourselves. Yeah. Obviously, I'm not saying that about the Chicago Bulls. That's not that's not what I'm saying here. But I mean, they are 3-0 any way you want to slice it, and especially with the circumstances, as you mentioned, Darko, new coach, new system, new everything that went down on media day. Things feel good. Yeah. In the very, 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 very early going.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, like you said, very early, very, yeah. You know, we're still in the honeymoon phase, if you will, of, you know, good vibes, good chemistry, all that stuff. Everybody's on the bench cheering. We'll see how it looks in 41 games, and we'll kind of reconvene on how these good vibes are right now. But let's try to harness the lightning in the bottle. It feels like, just good vibes all around.
100%. And just looking at this game, so you got 34 made field goals, you got 21 assists to go along with that, another whole bunch of turnovers, you got 20 today, and we'll get into that in a second. I thought it was interesting that the Raptors only shot 6 non-paint twos. A lot of at the basket, a lot of shots at the three-point line. They're getting closer and closer to what most modern offenses are doing, is that they're limiting their mid-range shots and they're focusing them on three-point line and also obviously around the basket. But yeah, just overall, you know, did you see anything different from this game as opposed to the other ones? Anything that really stood out to you?
I think the major thing that stood out to me was that second quarter lineup where it was Scotty, I believe, J-Mac, Dennis Schroeder, Grady Dick, and I believe there was one more guy in there. Gary Trent Jr. was in there. That lineup right there was like an offensive machine built around Scotty Barnes. If you want to get an idea of what an ideal type of offense around him looks, you got your glimpse right there in that second quarter. It was tons of off-ball movement. It was tons of dribble handoffs involving Scotty. They were using him as that post hub. Shout out to Samson Folk, who just wrote an incredible article on Scotty, the post hub player. But
and video, and video.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. And video essay. yes, it was the ideal situation for Scotty. And you saw guys like Grady, you saw guys like Gary really, really thrive in those scenarios too. It brought out the best in both of them, to be honest with you. That's the thing that caught my eye almost immediately. I was like, I did the Leonardo DiCaprio meme for a second. I was like, this is what I want to see.
You're the one.
Yeah, you're the one. Exactly. I just thought that was, it's an interesting lineup. They got cooked on defense with that lineup. I mean, they couldn't stop a nosebleed, but offensively, it looked really, really intriguing. And I think maybe that's a lineup you can go to for transitional moments, maybe in the season, maybe during games. Seems like it's something that you can actually work with.
Yeah, we still haven't seen like the actual top 10 As Darko has alluded to, if anyone doesn't know, he said that he likes to roll with a 10-man rotation, which is music to the ears of Raptors players, Raptors fans, all that kind of fun stuff. But at the same time, as I've mentioned, as we've all mentioned, like the Raptors, they could conceivably, if they wanted to, go like 12 deep if they really felt like it. But if Darko's saying this is how I want to do my system here, it's 10 players, then there's players that are going to be in that top 10, presumably, who haven't actually played in preseason yet. Yeah. You know, so it's a funny thing that they have to kind of wrap their head around, but, or maybe it's something that happens, you know, gradually, as they want to probably just like keep the chemistry right going into the season. But Scotty Barnes today, throughout this whole preseason, just lightning in a bottle, nonstop, constantly moving. His activity has been infectious throughout the whole game, and on offense, on defense, he's just everywhere. Yeah. And in the best kind of way.
No, you met, like, it's funny because the whole conditioning thing was such a big topic, such a big conversation at the end of the last year when he brought it up. And then this year he kind of retouched on it, saying, yeah, I actually worked on my conditioning this year, which was really surprising. The fact that he re-engaged with that conversation, it's clearly something that he wants to work at. And if we're being honest, he does have to play a certain way in order to maximize himself. He has to be ultra aggressive. He has to be a guy who is using all of his energy, exerting all of his energy on defense and on offense, right? If you're being this bully ball type of dude in the post, that you need a lot of energy for that. Giannis needs a lot of energy for that type of basketball. A lot of other players in the league that use that sort of bully style need to have top tier conditioning to be able to do that through an 82 game regular season. Now we'll see if Scotty can continue at this pace, right? Yes. For 82 games. But first three games, you're totally right. He is an energizer bunny. He just lightning in a bottle is a perfect way to describe him. His defensive, I guess I would say, like, just awareness has been much better in the preseason so far. I think he's done a much better job of rotating over the weak side stuff. We saw a little bit of it today as well. Just him as a rover, a guy who can pick passing lanes, et cetera, et cetera. He looked awesome. Loved Scotty. Loved every moment of today.
Yeah, deflections and pick and roll. He was getting his hands deep down there in the cookie jar, and he was getting something out of it and the diving for loose balls. And it's good to see him being able to hit some of those corner threes, but just open threes in general. It's not just because of the fact that we want him to hit threes, because obviously we do, but it's the confidence to step into those. Like, there was a play where he was a trailer along the OG was in the corner, and then Scotty's trailing a play and he just vaults up and he hits a three. It's the confidence right there that you want to see from him. And also the Raptors, like, they're running plays for him to shoot threes along with Pascal Siakam. I wonder if that's having like a psychological effect on them, where they know that a shot's coming. It's coming their way. And it's not as surprising, because as we know, the last season, like, it was a lot of free flowing offense. You didn't really know where the ball was going to come from, when it was going to come to you. You just had to be ready to shoot. And for some players, a Gary Trent, an OG Anunoby, they're used to that. They can get their footwork right. But for some others, maybe it's just not the same.
Yeah. So much of this, you know, the Darko style is, like, some people are so scared to mention like what it actually is. So much of this 0.5 seconds offense is predicated off of drive and kick, because you penetrate the defense, that kind of collapses them in, right? And then you're able to kick it out, swing, swing, swing. You have an open shooter at some point, right? It does not matter who that open shooter is. And I think that really, really helps out a guy like Scotty Barnes, a guy like OG Anunoby, a guy like Precious Achiuwa once he gets back to it, but especially Pascal Siakam, who has shown the ability to step into his shots, to be a catch and shoot player a little bit more because of this new offense. Let's say you have a Dennis Schroeder that's attacking the paint. Let's say you have a Scotty Barnes that's attacking the paint. Two guys who can get into the teeth of the defense and then kick it out. That's going to create a lot of open opportunities. And you're right, with extra daylight, with more opportunity, guys like Pascal will be more confident getting into it, settling into that jump shot.
It was a possession, 85-83. Scotty inbounds to Dennis, and he just chips it back to Scotty. And he beat four Bulls and a few Raptors down the court. A little shuffle pass to Pascal Siakam. He draws a foul. It's that energy that we want to see that from him game in, game out. I love seeing him follow up his misses too. It's like that extra, that second jump. He should have that ability. And it seems like he's slowly harnessing that over time. And the physicality, it's meeting his energy. And when that happens, you get some of these really special moments where he's doing things that no other player on the court can do other than Scotty Barnes.
I think this was also the best game from Pascal in the preseason so far, just because of his ability. One, when the going got tough, they did go a little bit to iso ball there at towards end of the first quarter. I think start of the end of the second quarter, when it was Pascal and some of the bench together, they leaned into the iso ball just a tad bit more, and Pascal feast. Like, they were getting consistent mismatches in that mid post area for him. He was able to hunt them out, and it worked extremely well. I think the other side of that is, you know, the transition offense that they're trying to run, just this run and gun pace, is getting him so many easy buckets that the other side of the ball, like the isolation stuff that he can do, is now coming on a tilted defense versus a defense that is set and ready to guard him. When the ball is moving consistently, the players, the defense has to rotate over as well. Now you have Pascal, one of the best craftsmen in the NBA, attacking a defense that is on the go. And that's, I mean, that's, pick your poison in that scenario.
Seriously. And Dennis Schroeder has been so good about that too, that he's constantly getting the ball up ahead of the court. It doesn't matter who it is, whether it's Chris Boucher, Scottie Barnes, Pascal Siakam, it's just get the ball down the floor. And there are several possessions where Pascal gets an early seal, or, and he's able to go to work, or maybe, you know, you find Pascal along the wing or around the end line, and he's able to make a quick move, and boom, it's a shovel pass again to Scottie Barnes. You draw a foul, a few easy points. And I love the basket towards the end of the, I think it was the end of the their last shift in the fourth quarter, where it was Dennis and Pascal in transition. And this ran some two-man game real quick. The Raptors, they're loving their touch screens and go screens. And it's part of, you know, keeping the pace up on offense just keeping teams on their toes in transition. And Dennis and Pascal ran that, and he got empty side against, I believe it was Pat Williams, spin move, bucket. And it's just never been easier. And Darko, I mean, to his credit, before we even saw anything about Pascal in this offense, he said, you know, what's cool about Pascal right now is, such a talented player, yada, yada, but he's become very efficient in his offense. And here he is today, 8 of 11.
Right. Yeah.
22 points.
It's maximizing those opportunities and maximizing those spots. What is the evolution of a player from good to great and great to even better is being able to pick and choose where you're going to maximize essentially your shot diet, right? Mm. That was a clear point from Darko, but I think it also takes a little bit of adjusting to do that when you're Pascal, when you're so used to, hey, just give me the ball, get out the way, over the last couple of years.
He's a hooper.
Yeah,
he's a hooper.
Yeah, hey, I mean, he's right. He's right. His ability to adjust, I mean, I think even early on has been really impressive. Again, I think the tilted defense is really making it efficient for him to score too. It's similar to Scottie, because this tilted defense also benefits a guy like Scottie, who can kind of attack a defender who's on the go, kind of bully him in with the shoulder and go up with it. Like, that's very much so a Scottie type of shot. And it helps other guys too, right? It helps Gary. It helps OG when there's maybe a cross match situation, maybe you get a mismatch. Then you can kind of take advantage of that opportunity for yourself as well. And now you can play a little bit of iso ball if you so choose to, you know?
100%. And the predictability of the offense last year was the numbing part about it, is that we all knew where the ball was going to go. And that was the depressing part about it. And even the other team knew where it was going to go. But now there's so many, like, you know, there's so much side-to-side movement. There's a lot of reversing, lots of pick and roll, lots of dribble handoffs. And even just with that, once the players, and like, again, they had 20 turnovers today, there was a lot of like sloppy misreads between the players. And I think that's natural, but they're trying to do the right thing. Yeah. You can tell that they're cutting back door. Maybe the window wasn't there, but they're going to learn from that, hopefully. And even if not, there is such thing as good turnovers versus bad turnovers. And I think they're finding that balance.
That's part of this style too. Like, if you're passing the ball more, you're just going to turn the ball over more. That's just how it is. The Raptors were near the bottom of the league in turnovers last year because they didn't pass the ball a lot. They were mostly an ISO scoring team. They were at the top or near the top of the league when it came to isolation frequency. Yeah. So it's just part of the game, right? It's part of the style you're trying to play. You're also going to force a bunch of turnovers with their defensive effort. And I think the defense really popped tonight too. Just their ability to hound at the point of attack. There was a possession. It ended up in a shot clock violation for the Bulls, right? And this was Dennis and Scottie at the point of attack against Javon Carter. They did not let him breathe whatsoever. It ate up maybe 10 seconds of clock. I believe after Javon Carter was another player. I'm not sure who it was. I can't remember. Maybe it was Ayo Dosunmu. He was on the other side. They did the exact same thing to him. They trapped Vucevic. just like that, a shot clock violation, yeah. Nothing happened out of that play. They didn't even pass the 3-point line. That is the type of just absolute menacery. I don't even know the word I can even say for this right now.
Hounding. Yes.
It's incredible. It is hounding defense.
Yeah.
And I think that ball pressure is going to turn into a lot of turnovers, into a lot of fast break opportunities. And that's the way the Raptors want to play.
And there's a composure along with their defense too, which is what we were hoping for last season, is that you can see that the weak side players, or even just anyone on the weak side of the ball, whether they got their foot on the elbow, they got their foot on the block, they're keeping their foot on the paint. And then as the ball is rotating around, then they're slowly making their moves, and they're relying on some pretty savvy closeouts. And last season, we all saw the flyby closeouts. It was so bloody annoying. Granted, the analytics suggests that, you know, that's the best shot to make a player take. And if they take a dribble, then they take a side step and then in the shoot, and then, you know, what I'm seeing from them is it seems like they're anticipating where that player is going to drive from, and they're stopping a little bit shorter, and they're reading the angles. And it's more of that, is that they're taking positive angles to try and negate those drive attempts towards the rim. And that was a killer for the Raptors, right? Like, yeah. I don't got to go through it. You guys all saw it. Annoying last season. And I think there's like a composure to it, but along with an aggression to this defense.
To your point, I completely agree. To your point, you think about what the strengths of this defense are. It is, right? They can switch a ton, but they also have the length to be able to do so. They got a little bit too switch heavy last year. Now you can kind of, you don't have to be right near the man because you're always long. A guy like Jalen McDaniels fits right in. I'm going to mix that up all
the
time.
They both do. They both fit.
They both do. You're right. Yeah. I'm going to just say J-Mac for the love of it. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
J-Mac is like the perfect example of that, because you can slot him into any lineup, whether it is with Scotty, Pascal, et cetera, even Dennis. And his length, he is so long when you see him on the court that it just helps him compensate for the distance that he has on a closeout. So now he doesn't necessarily need to fly by. He can always contest just by putting a hand up, because he's so long. The same thing applies to Scotty. Same thing applies to Pascal, other guys that are on this team as well. Boucher is another guy that can do that well. Just being able to have a long body to contest and play you one-on-one, that's tough defense.
Straight up. J-Mac, man, he's had some terrific blocks today. Yes. Right at the rim. He was pinning dudes, and it kind of catches you off guard, I would think. He blocked Zach LaVine on a drive right off the backboard. Like, whoa, where did that come from?
No, he's I hate to be the guy 3 games into a preseason to be like, I told you so. But I as soon as they signed him, I knew that he was going to fit right into their system. Because of what he brings on both ends. And I said this earlier tonight, but just, you can throw him into any lineup because he does a little bit of everything. Obviously, the defensive side of the ball, you already know with his.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Length, his ability to guard multiple positions, be that weak side rim protector, all of that is clear. I think his offensive versatility is actually popping off a little bit too. Yes, the 3-point shot is something that has to evolve and get better, but his ability to attack closeouts, his ability to make plays, I think his ability, obviously in the transition, we saw a nice little finish today too. There is real tangible stuff to like from this guy. And I don't know if it's going to be the 8-man rotation or the 9-man rotation, 10-man rotation, whatever it's going to be. He has to be in that rotation. No question about it in my mind now.
Yeah, we saw it today too. He checked in quite early in that third quarter. And yeah. I mean, it seemed like Darko, he was playing essentially like his 10-man rotation for what was available to him in this game. And then obviously at the last like 6 minutes or so, things got a little bit, changed a little bit. But that's when he checked in. He checked in for Pascal Siakam. And what I love about his ability just to work off ball is that he's got this motto, it seems like, it's I'm available to you. He's always just finding those small windows where he's just available if you need me. I'm right here, guys.
Right.
I'm right here. I'm coming towards the basket. I'm heading baseline. He keeps on moving. He keeps on rotating around. And also at the same time, it's similar to actually to Jakob Poeltl, where Jak's not always in the way, but he's just like circling around, is making himself available and creating those passing angles in case you need him. And then of course, yeah, the 3-point shot, you know, he went 0-4 today. Hopefully he makes a couple, but I think there's no reason to think that he's not going to, you know, be a pivotal player off the bench this season. 25 minutes today. I can see that being repeated. If OG or Scotty or Pascal get in foul trouble, he's going to be checking in.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with you. And the other guy that kind of comes to mind here in that rotation, maybe someone that everybody has been kind of keen on throughout this preseason is Grady Dick, right? Like how does he fit into this rotation in game one? And how does that maybe look in game 82? Because I do think those are two very different things. You obviously have the Precious injury that's playing a factor here. They're trying to try different lineups. I think Malachi Flynn kind of struggled today. And you saw some of the things
He did all right. Javon Carter gave him some problems.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think like to kind of compare the two, you saw what Grady, just because of his size, just because of his intuitiveness offensively, what he can do even if he's not hitting shots. Mm-hmm. When Malachi isn't hitting shots, .. You know, it kind of runs loose from there. You don't know what else he can bring just because he's a bit undersized defensively. And I wonder if we're looking at that 10-man rotation, whatever it might be, if Grady ends up being 10 versus Malachi's 11 and they kind of go back and I really don't know. I don't think we need to go out here and list all 10 right now, but I do think Grady's shooting, once it comes around, we haven't really seen an explosive shooting game from him. I'm sure that will eventually come. I think some of the ancillary things that he does, some of the secondary stuff, the passing, I thought he had a couple of good rebounds tonight. I believe he had a couple of good rebounds tonight. Let's see. He had two rebounds. Those two rebounds were very nice rebounds.
Yes, they were.
ultimately, I just think like his connectiveness on offense, his ability to make a couple of different reads, put the ball on the floor. He is big. Like he's 6'9", but he's like a stern 6'9", you know, it's not just 6'9" in shoes. I kind of think he makes a lot of sense off the bench with this team. And this brings me to my next point. So the first three preseason games, it has been obvious that the starters can't get things going offensively until Gary Trent Jr. can come into the game. And I'm wondering, I don't want to say it's like Pat effect, you know, Patrick Patterson, the long time come off the bench but don't start him story. I don't want to get into that. But it gives me those vibes because he's good off of the bench. He clearly excels in that role, but he makes so much sense with the starting unit. And I feel like Darko is sold on Dennis as the starting point guard for this team. But I just... Can we reconsider?
You wonder.
I don't know. That's the one thing that kind of popped into my head today when I was watching the game.
I mean, and some of the criticism of Gary Trent Jr. was, hey, can you pass the ball? Well, look, he had 4 assists today. He wasn't put in a position. And I've always disputed that just a little bit because I felt like past few seasons, he was a play finisher. That was his role with this team. Sure, he misses that pass, all right? But if you're told, come in and shoot the ball and get buckets, then that's your job. And I think for the most part, especially because of how the Raptors operated offensively, it was a lot of get a paint touch, kick it out, finish a play in some capacity. He felt like that was part of his job, was to do that. And he did it, you know, fairly well. Obviously, you know, some ups and downs with it. Did he miss some moments? Sure. But I think in a case like this, where we're seeing that he's being challenged to, okay, you're going to dribble handoff system. Okay. You got Thad Young on the short roll. You got Scotty Barnes on the short roll. Are you going to find these guys? These are simple reads for a guy who is A, talented, B, has shooting gravity, and C, It's simple. It's straightforward. Yeah. Like these are basic like bounce pass, you know, to your short roller like that. Those are things that he should be able to do at this level. And I think he can. So how does this go going forward? I mean, it's a great question. When Dennis was signed and just reading some of the tea leaves, it seemed like that this is Darko's guy. Right. And to Dennis's credit, I mean, I hear what you're saying and I see him like working constantly on his 3-point shot at the end of practices with Pat Delaney. He's working on it today. He didn't shoot all that well. But having that stabilizing veteran point guard, I think does help this team. Also a point of attack defense. I still see a lot of value in that. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like even today I saw examples where Dennis Schroeder is able to get around those screens. Malachi Flynn wasn't able to. He's getting kind of lost in those. Now you have those 2-on-1s going downhill. Those are problems, but Dennis, he wasn't getting lost, man. He was getting around those screens. He saw them coming and that's like that screen navigation, that savvy veteran presence where it comes into play. And I mentioned his transition passing. And also, you know, he had today, what did he have? He had 12 points on 4 of 10 shooting, not the best percentage. He was 1 of 4 from three, but it seemed like the buckets that he got, it was within the flow of the offense, like broken play, 10 seconds left on the shot clock. Okay. Dennis go downhill, gets a foul or something like that. It's a weird thing though. It's a tough thing to figure out though, because I hear what you're saying. You're having issues with your starters, spacing, shooting, Gary Trent Jr. Right. It makes sense.
It also could be a chicken and the egg thing where it's like, maybe, you know, hey, Gary is being maximized here off of the bench because those shots are available to him. They aren't available with the starting unit, right? It's a tug and pull. And I totally agree with the points you said about Dennis, because he does bring a lot to this team.
Yeah.
The dribble penetration is the thing that pops off to me. You mentioned the point of attack defense, which is very, very important. But the offensive side of the ball, him being able to get into the teeth of the defense and then kick it out has been, I mean, obviously for a team that is missing Fred VanVleet, who was the guy who did that. Now we can debate about how effective he was at that, but that was his job, right? His job last year for this team was to drive the basketball. Dennis has replaced that. He's arguably better at getting there just because how quick he is. And I think that's an important aspect to have for this team, but that aspect becomes so much more important when they're shooting around it. And it's a weird tug and pull. And I think the Raptors will have to play with a lot of different lineups this year just to see what works. I'm fascinated by that. That's probably the thing that catches my interest almost immediately. I'm thinking, hey, imagine a world where Dennis is the veteran off of the bench who is helping guys like Grady and Precious and, you know, J-Mac and all those guys kind of along. Now you have a really, really good bench unit, you know?
And that's a lot of spacing there too.
A lot of spacing there too. Exactly.
Now he's getting downhill. He's doing his thing. Yeah.
Right. I feel like there's a way to maximize both of them here if you put Gary in for Dennis. But at the same time, I hear you. I hear you that there's valid points to have Dennis in the starting lineup. So it's tough, man. It's a tough decision to make.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, the ideal world is that you have Gary and Scotty form this like dynamic two-man game. And then also Yak and Dennis have some sort of dynamic two-man game. Obviously, it's going to be different. It's not going to be the same. Different talents at the guard position, also at the center position between those combinations. But that's what you hope for. And then that can be like a bit of a hub for your offense whenever they decide to go to those lineups. But I think Gary and Scotty, they work really well off each other.
They work well today. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I see the vision with Yak and Dennis as well. Let's just see how it goes. But the Malachi Flynn minutes today, I mean, I think he's going to get every opportunity that he requires to make this work as a backup point guard. Again, I've said this before, front offices don't like being wrong about players, especially first round picks, albeit a late first rounder. So they want to be able to say that, you know, we got Malachi and a different coach, different system, yada, yada. He's all bulked up now. Looks like he's got like, you know, like balloons in his shoulders. I'll have to see how it goes. Today wasn't great. Javon Carter is a tough matchup for him. We just got to hope that he can grow. Darko had said yesterday or the day before that he feels like there's a lot more to Malachi's game. Well, it seems like he's going to get the opportunity because Jeff Down Jr. didn't play again today either. So
I do think Malachi is going to get his opportunity. I think I think both him and the team, and you know, I think they're both looking at this as a sort of last chance. He's entering a year where, you know, he doesn't know what his next season is going to look like. I think ultimately he understands that, and I'm curious because they've sort of placed him, for the most part, second half of this game, they had him be the lead guard. But in the first half, it was him and Dennis together. It was him and Scotty together. They are playing him with another ball handler. So they're trying to see how he can be maximized off of the ball. That requires him to hit his shots. Point blank, that is the way he's going to be able to be maximized off the ball. You got to hit your threes. That, especially as a smaller guard, that's just the only way that that's going to happen. But it's going to be interesting. He is going to get a bunch of chances this year. And I guess, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And no one look at their three-point percentage today because it was 29%. But yeah, I mean, they won the game though, right? So it doesn't matter. Yeah. Jerry rigging the system again. We shot like SHIT from three, but we still won the game.
Here damn, the Bulls actually, I thought the Bulls had a pretty good three-point night, but they took five less threes than we did. Yeah. And only made nine just like us. So that's tough. I thought they would be a better 3-point shooting team this year just because of some of their additions, but never mind with that. I think the Raptors ultimately, I think, by the way, someone needs to get a mention here. I love their end of bench guys, the 905 guys, Javon Freeman, Liberty. I think Mamadou Gay was pretty gay, whatever it is.
Gay.
Okay, cool.
It's from the man's mouth. So yeah,
I believe it. I know. I saw the interview and I'm like, okay, it sounds right. It makes sense. Let's rock with it. Okay. Yeah. Either way, I think both of those guys were phenomenal. I think Gay has been really, really good in the preseason as well. Freeman Liberty just has a kind of burst to him offensively. He can do a bunch of different things. You Ooh,
that
see
kick
that
out to Grady, man. He waited till the very last second before he kicked that out, and there was just a wide open look for Grady. He could have just twiddled his thumb for a few seconds and then shot the ball. It was beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. I think he does a lot of secondary things really, really well. Same can apply to Gay. I think they were both really good in the secondary stuff. It's like roll to the basket, play hard, rebound, make the right pass. And those are the things you need from rotation guys, right? Maybe someday if there's an injury, if there's something that's lingering, they can get a crack at the rotation. I'm not sure when Christian Coloco is coming or when he's going to be fully healthy.
Yeah,
gonna be
I'm
tough.
A little scared about that.
I think I am too. I think anybody should be concerned about that. But hey, maybe Gay gets a crack at things. Maybe you see him get into the rotation a little bit more. They do have a lot of front court guys, but who knows, right?
Once again, we're sitting here saying, where are the centers? Preseason, but... Preseason.
Yeah, you're right.
Thad Young is just like, come on, guys. I'm a power forward. I'm here doing it again.
Oh, man. Look, I love Thad. I love Thad. He's had an incredible career. It's looking a little tough out there. Look, incredible. 17-year man. He is a vet on this team, a well-respected vet on this team. You're probably asking too much if he's the guy that's trying to be your backup center. You know what I mean?
He had some nice cuts today. Yeah. Four free throws, made all of them, right?
Yeah.
Made all those free throws. That means something these days, right? Okay. But
especially
I mean,
against the Bulls. Especially 100%. Against the Bulls. That means something.
I decide not to actually say it, but yes. I mean, it's very fresh in our minds still, that that awful play-in game. But I mean, with the offense, you know, as we wrap up things here, like I think there's more reason to believe about the longevity of this offense. And I just like, you know, the they have certain triggers within their offense, and this is where they're asking guys to, you know, take on some more ball handling responsibilities, and you're going to either sink or swim with some of those. And we mentioned the turnover, some of those are going to happen, but they're getting defenses moving. And there's a lot of activity. And once you have these triggers, there's a togetherness with the team.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
They know what they want to do. And I think it's in a way, it's an unrelenting offense. There's reason to think that they're just going to keep on coming at you, whether it's a pick and roll, a DHO, cutter here, cutter there. And this is what Darko demands. And it seems like he's pretty steadfast on his principles. You do these principles, and that's how we're going to play basketball. So maybe, I mean, after watching a few of these games, I feel like there's a bit more sustainability to the offense. Again, what is the peak of it? It may not be as high as I'd like, but I see there's a vision here and there's something that they're working towards, and I'm seeing progress game by game. And you got a player like Pascal Siakam, as I mentioned, I mean, 8 of 11 today, 22 points, easily could have got 30. And Scotty Barnes, the way he's humming right now, OG, I know he didn't really shoot that well today, but he was obviously a presence on the defensive end. He had some nice putbacks on offense. There's still a lot to be had here with this offense. And again, it's going to come down to three-point shooting. And today, Scotty and Pascal, they shot what was it? 2 of 5 from Pascal and 2 of 3 from Scotty. So 4 of 8, not bad. They scored the final, 17 points in that fourth quarter of that shift of the starters. Not bad.
Let's leave it there. Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah. Hey, look, it's preseason. We can do all these precursors, kind of preamble saying, hey, we'll see what happens. But ultimately, like, yeah, this is going to need, we need to see this for an extended period of time, this offense, right? We need to see how it looks with some of the other guys missing, right? With Precious, with Jakob. We need to see it in its awe, right? Let's see it in its entirety first. And I think I need to see at least 20 to 30 games just to see if guys have bought in, right? And if they stay bought into this, right? It's easy to get, when you have a free-flowing offense, it's easy to get bogged down back into that ISO game. Mm-hmm. Let's see if they can kind of keep this ball moving as the season progresses too.
And also muscle memory for some of their opponents. They're not going to be used to watching the Raptors play this way. Like, they're going to look at film and they're going to see them moving differently. And they're going to be like, okay. But then when they're on the court with a Pascal Siakam, a Scotty, an OG, and these guys are like, these guys are moving differently. It's like that split second that they're going to have to probably catch up a little bit. But as you mentioned, that 30 game mark and forward, that's where teams are going to figure them out just a little bit more than they were before. And also the transition opportunities, they're going to get negated a little bit. And then we're going to see more probably what the Raptors are going to be this this upcoming season. I don't doubt that they probably get off to a decent start, right? But then December, January, February, let's see where they're at. That's where it's going to be the real telltale signs.
The vibes are back, man. That's all I can say. There we go. The vibes are back. I like it.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you for coming on.
Of course. Anytime, my guy. Thank you.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening.